Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. And not just a shout out to those who helped us redo our sanctuary stage, but a big shout out to those. If you're watching online, it is because of the people that are in the back of the room right now, like Gary and Thomas and Jonathan and Dylan, who are making this go live. Big shout out to our tech team led by Eddie Koski. They make service look good each week here in service, but also online for our online audience. So good. I think there's a principle that I learned when I was really young, and that is that everything is better in teams. And how many of you guys would know that it would be impossible for one person to do all of it? And so I'm really thankful for the team that we have here at the assembly. So today is Senior Sunday, and I just wanted to take this opportunity to share with you guys my journey this last week into becoming a senior citizen. It's true. I don't know if you've seen like the slight forward lean in my neck and how I'm like turning with my entire body, but I really have a crick in my neck. Like it's a genuine thing. I'm becoming old. But the journey started all the way last week on Sunday when we had nerds with Nerf guns. And we were there, had a great time, and Brandy Koski took some pictures, and she sent them to me. And Sunday night around 10:30, after I had like gotten home and gotten settled in, and I had started looking at all of the pictures, and I came across this gem of a picture. That's me wearing suspenders. Let's zoom in a little bit closer. That's me balding. That hurt. Makes me sad. And I posted on Facebook the dismay of the reality that I'm getting older. And I need to thank Kathy Phipps for bringing to my attention something that I hadn't considered. She said she had been seeing it for a while, and then I began to recognize the betrayal of all of my friends who had not told me, especially my rather tall friends who can see on top of my head. I mean, goodness. Now, I did get some wisdom from Pastor Greg this week. He wants you to know he's not bald, he's clean shaven. And it's a practice that I'm going to take on at some point in time in my life. I'm going to choose to be clean shaven because that is a decision that you make. Bald is what happens to you. Clean shaven is what I choose. And I will choose clean shaven at some point in time. But my wife tells me I'm not quite there yet. Moving forward, this week we had Trailblazers lunch, and I got an opportunity to spend some time with some wonderful members of our church, and all of them who are older than I am, and I felt really a part of their age. I had such a great time. I fit right in. We were talking about old Southern colloquialisms, and then I realized these old Southern colloquialisms I say too because I'm getting old. Furthermore, this crick in my neck, I became rather resourceful like older people do, and that's what this is up here for, this lug nut wrench I've been using to massage my shoulder. So this week, I've just discovered that I'm becoming older, like a senior citizen, and so thank you for welcoming me into your ranks. I appreciate all that you do. For those of you who consider yourself a senior citizen, I understand that today is not that kind of Senior Sunday. I really do. And I understand that today is all about our graduates. And just a shout out to our high school graduates and students at Velocity. I was at the graduation on Friday night and got some really cool pictures of some of our students walking across the stage. And it was a fun time being there. I sat with the Wilsons and got to watch remarkable how quickly you can graduate 701 students in just over 2 hours. And my favorite picture is this one. Yeah. I'd like to think that that's you saying deuces to high school, right? Peace out. Mic drop. Too bad you didn't have one to drop. That'd have been legit. But it was an awesome time being there, getting to celebrate with our students as they walked across the stage. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you now that I am going to begin the sermon part of this ceremony right now, because I understand, let me put that away before somebody gets hurt. I understand that if I wait to do my message until after we honor our graduates, two things are going to happen. First, our seniors are going to get senioritis, and they're just going to check out for the rest of the sermon. But I also understand that you guys might think that the rest of the message is for our seniors, and you're going to check out. And so I don't want either one of those things to happen. So I want to speak to the entire audience today. And this message is brought to you by Paul. He wrote in Ephesians he wrote to a bunch of different churches. And he wrote kind of this same message to a bunch of different churches. And it just so happens that the church at Ephesus is the one that gets recorded in the Bible. And that's in the book of Ephesians. And we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 3. And it is a prayer by Saul that's a prayer for spiritual growth. That's actually what it's titled in the Bible. And I feel like that it's really good for us to title it the same way. Why would I want to change what Paul called his own segment? And so we're looking at Ephesians. Paul's in prison. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. And Paul decides that he's going to tell the audience his prayer for them. And I know that there's often times that I've sent text messages to people that I'm praying for, and I won't just send a text message, "I'm praying for you." I'll send what it is my prayer is. And I'm doing that for a couple of reasons. One, I want you to be reminded of what Scripture says. I want you to know exactly how it is that I'm praying for you. But also, I just feel like, especially if there's Scripture in it, I want you to know what God's will is through what the Scripture says. And I think that this is exactly what Paul is doing. Paul is writing to this church, and he's telling them their prayer because he wants them to know, hey, this is for today. Hey, this is what I'm praying for you specifically, but also, hey, this is what God's will is. And he says in Ephesians 3:16 through 21, it says, "I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you going." And then he says, "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And that is a wonderful prayer that we are going to talk about today. And in the same way that when I write out prayers, I'm wanting to remind you of things. Today, we're going to look at what it is that I feel like Paul is wanting to remind us of. And the first thing that Paul's trying to remind us of is that God's power is stronger than I thought. It says, "I pray from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. And I just think of that unlimited resources. The unlimited resources that come from God. He's got access to things that you could never dream of. And I understand when we look at the world today and we see people who have a lot of wealth, you might say they've got unlimited resources. No, they've got a lot of wealth. They don't have unlimited resources. You might look at them and they might have a lot of friends that are in high places and they have authority, and you might think, man, they've got unlimited resources. No, they've got a lot of wealth and a lot of friends who have a lot of position. But when I think of God and I think of all of the unlimited resources that he has, it's more than just money, it's more than just relationships, it's an incredible power that we have access to. It's an incredible power that he wants to be inside of each and every one of us, because he says he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. So that same power that God has with his unlimited resources, he wants to bestow on you. He wants to empower you to do incredible things. He wants you to know that you have strength too. It's not just an incredible strength that God has, it's an incredible strength that's inside of you. Let's think of the Avengers. How many of you guys love the Avengers? Yeah? My wife and I, we recently have started from the very first one, basically, I'm not going to call it binge watching because that's not really what it is. We've basically watched a couple of movies a week for the last 3 weeks. I think we watched Thor, the second one was at the Dark World last night. So that's what, like the sixth movie or something like that in the series. And there's this thing that I'm noticing. All of these superheroes, they have amazing power, they have amazing speed, they have this amazing jumping ability, and when you put them all together, they become this super team. Well, God's got more power, and he's got more speed, and he doesn't need us, but together we can be a super team. Together we can do incredible things for God. And then he says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And that power wants to be inside of you. And it's that power that endured the cross. And it's that power that raised Christ from the dead. And it's that power that's inside of me. And it's inside of you. And that's a pretty good power. And I love Paul's imagery here. Just think of a tree and its roots. I know that Double D had mentioned a tree earlier in the roots. When you get a tree and it's got roots that are growing deeper and deeper and deeper, that's making a stronger base for that tree. And when that tree is strong enough, it can withstand torrential storms and tough winds. And I love the idea of us allowing our roots to get so deep into who God is and the strength of who he is, and it going deeper and deeper and deeper. And when it does, we get stronger and stronger and stronger. I understand we're not just trees out here, we're people. But God had a motive with all of this power for us. He had a motive for you and for me. And I love the way that David said it in Psalm 8. It says, O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You've taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. And then he says this, when I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. And you gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flock and the herds and the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims in the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. God's power puts the stars in its place. But then he gave you dominion over all of the land that's here. He gave you that power. And he's telling us today that not just God has power. Paul says we also have power. And it's through him. The second thing that that Paul reminds us of is that God's love is greater than I thought. He says in verse 18, and you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. If you can imagine how great God's love is, it's greater than that. It's too great for us to fathom. And when we think, God, your love is amazing. God, your love is strong. God, your love is powerful. No, it's more than that. It doesn't stop there at the words that can come out of our mouth. God's love is big. It's huge. It's great. It's wide. It's tall. It's deep. And it's unshakable. And that love is a love that's chasing after you. And it's a love that's pursuing you. And it's a love that God doesn't want you to just know. He wants you to experience it over and over. And Paul says, may you experience that kind of love. Don't you all want to experience that kind of love over and over and over again? That love is greater than we could ever hope or imagine. It's huge. It's amazing. And when I think of people who are struggling in life, who are struggling with their past, who are struggling with medical issues, who are struggling with the world attacking them or with decisions that they're making, I think that there's a couple of things that are happening here. I think first, Satan is doing his work to tempt us. Satan is doing his work to distract us. And he wants us to forget about who God is for us. And that's the second thing, is we forget that God's love and grace and mercy is huge. And when we find ourselves lost and we find ourselves walking away from our faith and we find ourselves struggling to figure out who God is and what he wants from us, I think we're forgetting how great God's love is. And it's a huge love. And it's a love that wants to wrap his arms around you and let you know every single day how much you mean to him. Philippians 2:6 says, though he was God, he didn't think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. And he didn't do it just because it seemed cool and fun. He didn't do it because it seemed gory and like he would get some kind of glory from it. He did it because he loves you. And that's a love that we'll never understand. It's a love that's greater than what we could imagine. And that's what Paul wanted to remind us, that God's love is greater than we thought. And last, the last thing that Paul wanted to remind us is that God can use me to do more than I thought. In verse 20, it says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or imagine. How many of you guys want to live in oblivion where people just forget who you are? No? Nobody? We want to be remembered. We want to make a difference. Every single one of us has this innate desire to make an impact on somebody's life. And whether you have a calling to be in ministry or to be a missionary overseas or not, we all have this calling to do ministry and to be evangelists in our community, to be God's hands and feet. And we all have a calling to be the best lifelong followers of Jesus Christ that we could possibly be. We are all pastor, minister, teacher. We are all loving. We are all called to be what Jesus was. Whether or not it's a occupation for you or whether it's your side gig in ministry at your place of work, we are all called to make a difference and to make an impact. And deep down, that's what we want. We want to make that impact. We want to make that difference. And I think if we are focused on who Christ is to us and not the impact that we are making, if we are focused more on him than on the prize of people seeing us and noticing us and recognizing the work that we're putting in, if we focus more on him, then we'll make this huge impact that's greater than we could possibly ever think or imagine because of God's great mercy within us and God's great power within us and his great love that's within us and his mighty power within us is what's going to enable us to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. And I want to do some pretty amazing things. But without him, I can do nothing. Without him, who am I but just another human being? But because of Jesus, because of the power that he has working within me. And because of the love that he has for me and the love that he wants me to have for him, because of that, I can do incredible things. And you can do incredible things. I love when chapters of the Bible end and the next one begins pretty much right where it left off. I think sometimes it's kind of weird when that happens. And I think that this is one of those moments, because when you look at Ephesians chapter 4, really I feel like Paul is continuing the same thing, this same line of thought. And in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "Therefore I, a prisoner serving for the Lord." So therefore, meaning because of everything that I've just said, "I, Paul, a prisoner serving for the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace." And I love the fact that he used that term, lead. He said, "I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling." Not fall into this life that's worthy of your calling. Not accidentally have a life that's worthy of a calling. But you lead your life. You lead it. This isn't where you just let life happen to you and you play the victim card and sit there sad because things didn't go the way that you wanted. This is where you take charge of your life and you say, "I am going to lead my life, and no matter what happens to me, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. And no matter what happens to me, I'm going to be a vessel of his love. And no matter what happens to me, I'm going to have joy, and I'm going to be humble, and I'm going to be gracious, and I'm going to be gentle." You lead that. This isn't somebody else making you do this. You must be compelled to lead your life that is worthy of the calling. The Message version says it in a different way. It says, "In light of all of this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily. Not at one moment in time or another moment in time, but throughout time. Steadily, consistently, pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. Get out there. Walk. Better yet, run." I don't know where you're at in life particularly. I don't know what situation you're in. I don't know what your past looks like. I don't know what your medical history looks like. I don't know what life has happened to you. But this is where you say, "All right, I understand that God has an incredible power that's at work within me. And I understand that God has this incredible love for me. And what am I going to do with that but make a difference for his kingdom? What am I going to do except get out there, work, 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 do the best that I possibly can to lead my life?" To lead it. Not let life happen and follow behind as I let life take me places. I'm going to take my life places. We get to take charge. And Paul likes to remind us of a lot of different things. And I think today he is reminding us this is our life. And God is at work within it. All we have to do is get up and lead it. Lead our life. Travis or Thomas, whoever's here, would you guys mind, one of you mind coming and playing for me as I close? With every head bowed and eye closed, I'm not going to have this response where I ask you to raise your hand or stand or anything like that. I want you to look at your life. Just peer inside of Lake U. And I want you to look and see, is this life the life that God has called me to? Is this life a life that is worthy of the calling that I've received? Is this life that I'm living because life happened to me or because I led myself here? Today I want to remind you, God's power, which is at work within you, is stronger than you thought. And His love, which is huge and is also inside of you, is greater than you thought. And because of those things being inside of you, God can use you to do more than you thought. So today, when you walk out of this room, walk out as Paul said. Get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road God called you to travel. Don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. Mark that you do this with humility and discipline. Not in starts and finishes, but steadily. Pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. Lord, give us the strength that you have. That when life is crazy or when we make a mistake, as every human being does, I pray, Lord, that we would remember that your strength is great, that your love is great, and that despite all of our flaws and failures, that if we take charge of our life, you can do infinitely more within us and through us than we ever thought. And Lord, I pray for the people that are in this room that when they walk out the door, that today they would be encouraged to do more, to be more, to love more, and to allow the strength in you to come out and to be bold and to be brave and to reach their communities, to reach their world. And when life gets tough, because they are so rooted deep inside of your love and because their roots run deep into you, that they would be strong to withstand the storms, that they would be strong to withstand the temptations, that they would be strong to serve you. And at the end of the day, they would be able to look back and say that they were a lifelong follower of you, Jesus. Not just today, not just tomorrow, but every day for the rest of their life, a lifelong follower of you. Thank you, Lord, for your strength, for your love, and for your calling in on us. Thank you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of graduates that have graduated over the last month, whether they were high school graduates or college graduates. And today, we just want to honor those of you who have graduated. And if you're a student at Velocity and you're here, I think in this service it's just Gracie. I've got a gift for you in my office, so I'll meet you afterwards. But I just wanted to recognize all of those who have graduated. And so if your name is on the screen or if I say your name, would you just please stand? We've got Amy Burvig, who graduated from Southern Arkansas University with a master's in teaching. We've got Jason Giorgini, who graduated from Park University with a bachelor's in management. We've got Grace Goshen, who graduated from Cabot. Travis Larrison, who graduated from T.D. Jakes School of Ministry with a master's in strategic leadership. Kirsten Sitzman, who is going to be here in next service. And Ashlyn Wilson. Uh, In the book of Numbers, there is what is called the priestly blessing. And this is the way that Pastor Greg ends just about every single week, in the same way that I have my phrase that I'll say at the end of the service today. Pastor Greg and many pastors that I know in service this way. But I wanted to read to you what it says. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." That's the blessing that we want to pray over you. And if you're here, would you stand? And I want everyone to, if you're standing next to one of these graduates, let's everybody stand, yes? If you're standing next to one of these graduates, would you just reach out and put your hand on their shoulder, or, you know, point towards them, like stretch your arms out towards them. And I want to pray this prayer of blessing over them. Lord, we are grateful for the blessings in our life. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless them and keep them, protect them, keep them safe every single day of their life. I pray, Lord, that your face would shine on them, that you would look towards them and be proud of what it is that they are doing and how they are living their life. I pray, Lord, that your grace would continue to abound in their life. I pray, Lord, that in moments when they feel lonely, that they would know that you are there watching over them because your face is turning towards them. And in those moments where life seems hectic and crazy, I pray that your peace, which we don't understand, would surround them and guard their lives as they follow you, Lord. I pray that you would bless their feet to walk in paths of righteousness. Bless their hands to do work that is good. Bless their minds to think thoughts that are pure, clean, righteous, and holy. And bless their mouths, that out of their mouths would come words of encouragement and cheer. I pray blessing over these graduates today, for today, but also forever. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.